All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence, to be together in one place to worship you, to receive from you. Father, I ask for a fresh anointing to rest upon not only me, but this house. We thank you for that anointing that, according to Ephesians 1, opens the eyes of our understanding so that we can receive, so that we can perceive who you are, who we are in you, what you have provided for us. Father, I thank you for that anointing and that breaks and removes burdens and yokes. And so I hold up every person in the sound of my voice. Let not one person walk out of this place the same way we came in. For every burden that the devil has tried to strap on our lives, I speak the freedom of the Holy Spirit. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We thank you, Father God, for healing. We thank you, Father God, that the victory over every situation. We thank you that the spirit of infirmity attacking anyone's body must cease now in the name of Jesus. We choose to dare to believe the impossible. You are the God of the impossible, and you are doing the impossible for us today. And so let not this be a wasted moment in our walk of faith where we just walk through casually, but help us to stir our faith to look up higher and begin to believe the promises of your word that you are and have done amazing and the impossible for us today. Help every person. We thank you, Father. I speak to restoration into marriages today. I speak peace into the minds and thoughts of people today. We curse and bind anxiety and any mental health issues and attacks of the enemy. No weapon formed against your people will prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. And every tongue that rises up against them in judgment, we condemn. Father, I thank you for lack and debt must bow its knee to the provision of heaven. I thank you, Father God, let inheritances be received. Father God, I thank you for your blessing. I thank you, Father God, for divine opportunities. We thank you, Father God, that we do not, even though we are in this world, we are not of this world. We do not draw, eat from, receive from the same nutrition that the world receives mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. We draw from the table of heaven today. We receive from the table of heaven, for you have prepared a table for us in the midst of our enemies. Father God, I thank you. We choose not to look around to what the world is saying or what our emotions are saying or what our body is saying, but we choose to look to your word and choose your word as the highest authority in every realm of our life. I thank you, Father, for healing in people's bodies. I thank you, Father, for the peace of God that exceeds our understanding. I thank you that we have on the armor of God and the helmet of salvation, a covenant mindset, keeping us, removing all the negative filters, removing all the negative past experiences, and we choose to see life as you have called us to see it. Father, open our eyes to see what has already been there prepared by you that we have yet to discover. Open our hearts to receive, Father, everything that you have for us. Father God, for you are our source, and we give you praise. And everyone shouted, if you mean business, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Say, he is the God of the impossible, and he's doing the impossible for me today. Look to your neighbor, say, neighbor, he is the God of the impossible, and he's doing the impossible for you today. That's our theme for this year. The Lord gave us. Amen. Psalms 111 is our key verse. He causes us to remember his wonderful works. He has shown his great power to his people. Are you the people of God? He has shown his great power, not limited, but great power to his people, giving them the lands of other nations. I believe that this year we're going to see, and we have already seen. Can you believe we are in May? But we have already seen in the first few 4 months, moving into the fifth month, the power of God in people's lives. I'm thankful we have seen the blind see. We have seen people that were several people deal with cancer, get a clean bill of health. We have seen marriages restored. We are seeing God do the impossible. But I'm not settled just what he's done, because he has done all things and it's already completed. It's not wanting what doesn't belong to you. It's wanting what God has already purchased for you on the receipt of the Bible. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so it's, Lord, if you have something for me, I want it. Yes. And we receive that by faith. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so it's stirring ourselves up, reminding ourselves, because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And if you ever come in and the devil gets you to think, oh, he's pastor's talking about that verse again, he's talking about that phrase again, I've heard that enough. You need to hear it until it goes autopilot with you. You need to hear it till it's so much in the abundance that it comes out of your mouth. For Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means when you're rich, that means you have more than $1. Can I get an amen? I don't know how rich you want to be. I'm not talking about financially, but that's a part of the blessing. But I'm talking about the things of God. And I don't know how rich you want the word of God, but I want everything God has for me. I want, if I bump into something, that not negative stuff comes out, positive stuff comes out. When people begin to talk against you, not negative emotion comes out, but the word of God comes out. When the devil tempted Jesus, everything he responded was, it is written. Why? Because he is the word. And the word became flesh, John 1:1 and verse 14. We have to get to the place. Are you listening to me? So many people in the church world have bought into the mindset of what an average Christian looks like. And it's not in line with the word of God. I'm not saying that you have to be radical, because people think radical with weird. God doesn't want you to be weird. But I'm telling you, there is so much level of strength available to you. There is so much peace available to you. There is so much joy available to you. So many times we live below the level of what's available to us by the word of God and the covenant of the blood of Jesus. And you can find other churches that will tell you, just suffer through it. But in this house, we believe what God said he meant, and what he meant he said. And he said that you are more than a conqueror. He said, give thanks to the God who always, always, always causes you to triumph. Sometimes you got to stir yourself up above and beyond the situation, above and beyond the emotion, above and beyond the problem, above and beyond the people that are against you, and begin to say, God, open my eyes like that servant and let me see who's for me, because everyone I see is against me. Everyone I hear is talking bad about me. And God said, that's just the little. Let me show you the much, because he is the El Shaddai. He is the God of more than enough, and there's more for you. The prophet said, there's more for me than against me. You got to wake up sometimes, and when the devil tries to get you into thinking of discouragement, say, wait a minute, why am I being discouraged? This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. Am I talking to somebody today? Before we get to the notes, before you go to a Mother's Day lunch and wait 3 hours just to get a table, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to walk to the table the way you woke up this morning. You get a hold of the word and let the word get a hold of you, and it will charge you up. It will strengthen you. Renew your mind. You're Romans 12:2. You are renewing, and all of a sudden it brings a transformation. Something about that word transformation tells me you don't look like the way you came in. Some of us look like we just only had a little improvement. God doesn't want a little. He said, behold, all things are made new when we get into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, Colossians 1 tells us that you have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm telling you, whatever told you, the devil told you was impossible, is nothing with God. For all things are possible to him who believes. Hallelujah. We're going to have church today on Mother's Day. Hallelujah. You maybe came for a rose, but you're going to come out with a rose of Sharon, smelling like the fragrance of the anointing of heaven, because God is in this house. Come on, give Jesus a praise. Hallelujah. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of the impossible in the doctor's office. He is the God of the impossible at the bank. He's the God of the impossible with your creditors. He is the God of the impossible with your therapist. He is the God of the impossible when you see an empty pantry. He is the God of the impossible when that check just bounced. He is the God of the impossible. And when you begin to believe it and declare it, you'll begin to see the things change around you. Because he is not limited by anything you have ever faced. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! In your darkest moment, David, with everything against him, and they had went to battle, and then they told him, no, we don't want you to fight. Go back home. And when him and his mighty men got back home, the enemy had already came and showed up at the place of their residence, showed up in the town, burned everything, took their wives and children, and these great men of valiant warriors began to weep and cry so loud it was deafening, the Bible says. And then they decided to do something that's even more evil. Not only they were crying and weeping and falling apart, they decided if they had any energy, they didn't even think about going after the enemy. They didn't think about fighting. You know what they started? They were so exhausted, they were weeping and crying, and they thought they could muster up just a little bit of energy to do what, you ask? Good question. They decided, let's get enough energy and get together, and let's get David. Let's kill him. It must be his fault. It must be his fault. It must be his fault. They turned on David. Here, David, everybody seems like they ignore him. Father overlooks him. Brothers ridicule him. The king's trying to kill him. And now he hides. And some men show up who are already busted and disgusted in their own life. And he works with them. And they become valiant. And then they turn on him. Can you have to feel like that sometimes? Have you ever had that? You feel like even the people you're helping are trying to hurt you. Even the people that were for you now are now talking about you. You're like, what in the world? And you can get into the world system and begin to think the way the world and the devil wants you to think. And you can begin to cry and oh me and oh my, oh Lord, why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. And it's not a matter if you deserve it or don't deserve it. Matthew 13 says that there's pressure that comes because of the word's sake that's on the inside of you. I'm telling you, the devil's not afraid of your feelings. He's afraid of the eternity and destiny that's on the inside of you. He knows that there's something brewing deep on the inside of you and he can't figure it out, but he's scared of it. And he's going to try to turn people against you. He's going to try to turn problems against you. He's going to try to stir up issues, but you've got to begin willing to say, that's not my portion. Because how do I know my portion? My portion comes from the DNA of the seed of the Word of God that's on the inside of me. And I'm going to rise up and say and declare what God says. David did. What did he do? He got away. He didn't go to kill himself. He didn't go cry. He's got before the Lord. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He said, oh God, how did he encourage himself? I believe he began to sing unto the Lord. I believe he began to worship the Lord. I don't know what psalm, if he wrote a psalm, if it's even recorded, but I can only imagine him begin to say, I'm going to worship you. You are so good. You were there when I faced the giant. You were there when I faced the lion and the bear. You were there. You gave me victory. You gave me victory in so many times. You have anointed me with her. Father, and he began to encourage himself in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, while he was encouraging himself, am I talking to somebody? Have you ever been in a dark pit and you're like, how'd my brother send me here? Don't worry, Joseph, because when the story's done, you're not only coming out, you're going up. God didn't put you in the pit. God didn't plan for you to be in the pit. But what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it for good. Some of you, you thought, why don't you leave me alone? I don't mind anybody. I'm not bothering anybody. I just want to get along with everybody. And the devil's trying to get you discouraged. But you have to understand, the destiny on the inside of you is too great for him to deny and ignore. You weren't built to be an average Christian. You weren't built to be like everybody else. You weren't designed to fit in with the world. You are a light. You are a light. You are a light. You are a light. And the devil's too scared of it. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And in the encouragement, he not only got encouraged, he got direction. And God said, here's what I want you to do. Whew. Some of us are all caught up doing this when we should be more focused on doing this. Show me what to do, Lord. Show me what to do, Lord. I sing to you, show me what to do. And David found direction and he went back to the men. He had to go back to the guys that were planning on killing him. I don't know what your first line of speech is on that one. You know, he had to be thinking about, okay, Lord, I'm going back. I can't do this on my own. I need these guys, but they're still ticked. I don't know what he said, but I don't know if it was, because it's not even in the text. But sometimes I wonder if we overemphasize the exact word. Because the Lord can take what he's doing in you. We're just flowing right now. I haven't got to my notes yet. The Lord can take what he's already started in you. And without you saying everything, without you explaining all the details, without you even maybe showing a grand picture, you just show up and said hi. And all of a sudden, just like when Mary showed up, oh my God, just when Mary showed up and greeted her cousin Elizabeth, and greeted Elizabeth, and all of a sudden, Elizabeth said, wait a minute, the moment I heard a greeting, the moment you spoke something, there was something already deep on the inside of me. I don't know if Elizabeth was going through a hard day that day. I don't know if she was having morning sickness that day. I don't know if she was hungry and tired or whatever all you wonderful moms deal with when you're pregnant. But all of a sudden, something on the inside, that baby which was a prophetic word from heaven, that baby who was not there by chance, that baby that had an assignment, she said, the moment I heard you greet me. Mary didn't go say, hey, I got to do something. I saw this on TV. You know, I'm gonna pray a certain way, and I'm just going to believe that something's going to jump on the excited, and you're going to get so excited when I begin to say this. Are you ready for me to say this? And the moment I say this, you're going to get it all excited, and something's going to happen, and we walk people through the process. She didn't have to explain it all. All she did was say, good morning. What am I telling you? There'll be times in your life that you might even approach people that don't even like you. And that you didn't come in trying to convince them. You didn't come in with baked goods trying to coerce them. You didn't try to work it out. All you did is said good morning. And the Spirit of God will take what's on the inside of you and stir the anointing gift on the inside of them. And I believe David went back to his men and said, hey guys. And all of a sudden the anointing hit them. And they say, wait a minute, enough said. Forget the movie you had me at Hello. They say, enough said. Said, the moment you spoke, something stirred on the inside, and we know God is with you. Let's do it. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you walk in to make a deal, and you don't even get into the deal, and they're like, I'm ready to sign. What do you mean you're ready to sign? We haven't negotiated it. It's okay, whatever you want, let's do it. Yeah. I believe there's a let's do it anointing. I've never said that in 35 years of preaching. I feel there's a let's do it anointing, a favor from heaven that'll come upon you, and it's not you being a perfect speaker. Some of us have never stepped out of the boat because we didn't know how to walk. Some of us have never taken a step because we didn't know exactly what to say. And I'm telling you, you might not get it all right. You might even stumble a little bit. You might be like Moses who stuttered a little bit, but that's okay. When you got the staff of God, am I talking to anybody? When you got the staff of heaven, all you do is raise it up and begin to decree, say something, and watch what God will do. Because at the end of the day, they're not going to be talking to how polished you are. They will be talking how powerful God is. We have gotten into a world of marketing and commercialization, and we've worked hard to be polished, and there's a lot of people struggling. Why? Because they can't be as polished as somebody else. You don't have to be that polished. You just need a little power from God. Smith Wigglesworth, a great revivalist back in the day, plumber, uneducated, not because he was a plumber, he just didn't have an education, didn't even know how to read, but learned how to read through reading the Bible. And it doesn't seem like, oh, well, I'm going to follow him. You know what? If we only follow people we're impressed with, you might find yourself in a ditch you don't want to be in. But he was anointed from God. He was powerful because of God. We don't have to get caught up looking to the things around us. God wants to do something in us to display that he needs your participation. He needs your participation. Don't get me wrong. Some of us are waiting, kumbaya, Jesus, and why haven't you backed up the truck? Beep, 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 and bring on. No, no, no. We inherit the promises of God through faith and patience, Hebrews 6:12. We receive it through faith and patience. He needs your participation. Amen. He needs your approval. That's why tithing is important. It's a constant reminder. I'm in covenant with you, Father. Hallelujah. Tithing's of the old covenant. It is of the old covenant. Are you ready for this, Einstein? Read the Bible. So is offerings. Preachers that preach that tithing is of the old covenant, don't belong in the new covenant, then one, and they use Malachi 3. Well, Malachi 3 not only talks about tithes, it talks about But if that doesn't frustrate you enough, let me just say this. Tithing is a covenant response to a covenant-creating God. And it's in every covenant. Is it in the Old Testament, Old Covenant? Yes, it is. But it is in the Adamic Covenant? Yes, it is. Did you know Adam had a tithe? You say, well, where's that? It was there all the time. What is a tithe? A tithe is when what comes into your hand, God says the first part is mine. I want you to manage it, but don't consume it. What was in the garden that Adam had to manage but could not eat from? Abraham. It was an Abrahamic covenant. It's in the New Testament of your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 7, 8, and 9. Read all three chapters so you understand. Because it's, I don't know why I'm going there. We're not taking up another offering. But sometimes we need to understand the word. We're deceived from the enemy and bad doctrinal teaching, and then we're robbed, and God said, my people are destroyed for lack of. Very specific. The old covenant, the only one that could receive a tithe was the priest that come from the tribe of Levi, Levitical priesthood. And even in the word, it talks about how in the New Testament, how Jesus now is the great high priest. And what Abraham did with Melchizedek having no beginning and no end, represents the high priest of Jesus. But it says, but Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi, but he received tithe. How could he receive tithe unless he was showing there is a greater covenant? And though man receives a tithe on the earth, Jesus receives it in heaven. Oh, it's gotten quiet. You know, you talk about people's money, they get nervous, but that's okay. Challenge it. Look it up. Look it up. We are a church that believes tithing, offering, alms, seed. These are all different. This is like sports. They're all different sports, but they all come in the canopy of giving. But it works. We don't put pressure on people to do it. We want you to do it by faith, which comes from the word. That's why I tell you to challenge it. And offerings, they're not, you don't give an offering to pay electric bill. Church, that offering's not for the church to meet a budget. The offering's for the benefit of the people who need God's system to override the world system that has kept them under. And I tell you that after an offering, so you never think that I'm trying to tell you that so to get something for you in the offering. And if any church I've ever seen, of all the churches I've ever seen, that does things different, we are definitely one that does it different. I mean, we tell people to take cash out of the offering bucket. That don't like sound like someone who's manipulating people to get money out of their pocket to help meet a budget. We tell people, hey, if you're struggling, giving works. But if you're in immediate need, take some cash out of the offering right now. It makes no sense. But how do we get a big grocery store? It don't make sense. Free grocery store. How do we get a free clothing? It don't make sense. We just do what the Lord tells us to do. Amen. And I remember the day, right at the beginning of COVID, standing right up there on that side of the platform, the Holy Spirit told me to do it. And I ignored him. He told me again. And I resisted him. And the third time, and within a couple minutes, this must be from the Lord. And anytime the Lord directs you, he'll give you a scripture. Anytime someone says, the Lord told me to tell you, or the Lord told me to wants you to do something, ask them, what's that? Where's that? What's the chapter? What's the verse? Chapter, verse. Say chapter, verse. Let me work with you. Say chapter, verse. What are you doing? You're saying, show me in the Bible. Well, it's in there somewhere. Then you need to quit talking until you find out. Well, I know the Lord spoke to me clearly. Well, if he spoke to you clearly, he wrote this book. Don't you think he could also tell you the chapter and verse? Tell you where that's at? And the Lord spoke to us and gave me this scripture. Says that if someone who's hungry or thirsty comes to you, naked and hungry comes to you, and you say, be blessed and send them on their way and don't help them, where's the love of God? Okay, let's move right along. Say, I'm blessed. Say, there's greatness on the inside of me. That's not arrogance, because I didn't say you were great. I said God is great. He's on the inside of you. If there's greatness because of you, it's because of God on the inside of you. Any greatness that people should see should be the reflection of God from me. Hallelujah. You say, is that the message? That's not even the intro. I'm looking at the time, 11 verse. Let me give you a general broad stroke, and we'll get more into it in the weeks ahead. We talked last Sunday about benefits of receiving your portion, portion being your inheritance. Portion being your inheritance. Same word, same meaning, but sometimes we miss out. We receive the inheritance because of what Jesus already did on the cross of Calvary. And it benefits you, obviously. You can wait to heaven to get it. The devil will try to talk you out of it and say, why don't you wait to heaven to get it? You can be blessed in heaven. You can get healed in heaven. You can get happy in heaven. Yeah, you can wait till heaven to get it. Or you can get it on this side of the earth. Yeah. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll bring glory to God. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 7, 8, 16. And it'll also be a great testimony to impact the lives of other people. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. I want to go into a new series that's still connected, because I want to talk more about not just your portion or receiving. I want to get into more of the ingredients of receiving from heaven. In marketing, there's a thing called a funnel, and that's the thing of going from wide to narrow. It's getting people from the masses to try to find out who's going to receive or buy or purchase or participate in your business product. Using that phrasing, but not necessarily that meaning, I want to take the next few weeks and I want to talk about the funnel of faith. Because people say, oh, I'm in faith. I want to know where they're at in the funnel. Yeah. Because we inherit the promises of God, Hebrews 6, 12, through faith and patience. And although God has already done it and you can receive it in a millisecond, there's still a process of faith and patience. This is not trying to be legalistic, but to me it's like getting the ingredients right. Because if I'm trying to score in a baseball game and I find myself getting tagged out, only to someone tell me, you're hitting the ball well, but you keep on passing up first base, and you just jump to second base, I'd be like, well, thank you, now I know, because there's steps in this. Some people go, no one here, some people, we think we're in faith, and we get into presumption and foolishness. Kenneth Hagin Sr. wrote a great book many years ago, Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption, because they want something bad enough, they think they're in faith for it. Or because it becomes popular or they need it strong enough, they think they're in faith for it. Or they're trying to negotiate with God or barter with God to get something from God. And we struggle with it. God wants us to know. And so I'm going to present it, two verses real quick, talking about how, what are the ingredients, if you will, what is that faith funnel that enables us to receive what God has for us, whatever you're believing for, whatever promise. Romans 10 verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord in prayer, Amplified Translation, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord in prayer will be saved. We'll keep right there for a second. Pretty straightforward, right? Call upon the Lord and they're saved. Call upon the Lord, and they're saved. Pretty simple. But there's underlying ingredients. This is the macro for all our economic, financial people. But there's micro things involved. Broad stroke for all our painters. But there's details that still can be dug out. Right. What is those details? And is there other verses that will confirm or deny the existence of that pattern? I look for patterns. I love numbers. I love numbers. Numbers to me tell stories. Is there a pattern here? Well, let's look. So it talks about general. Call upon the name of the Lord shall be. Talk to me. We talk, you can get to that Mother's Day brunch so much faster. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Keep in mind, the word saved is sozo, which encompasses everything within the contract that we call New Testament. Yeah. New covenant, it's a covenant, a contract. But covenant is actually a better word. But most people understand contracts when you sign them. But God created a covenant between him and himself for us. And in that, there's benefits. Psalms 103, and forget not all his benefits. There's benefits into the covenant. When you sign a contract, you need to know what's the expectation, what are the benefits. If you just sign quickly, you can find yourself in hot water one day. But if you know the terms of the contract, then if someone breaks in violations of it, you could go to court to the judge and say, wait a minute, judge, here is the signed agreement of our covenant, our contract. Well, God is the ultimate judge in heaven. Well, I don't know what that is, but we'll just keep going. And so there's a contract. There is a contract, terms of it. So we get the broad stroke, call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That includes forgiveness of sins. That includes going to heaven, but it includes healing. It includes peace. It includes joy. It includes blessing. Where do we get the identification of it? Through the promises of the New Testament. Are you with me? Verse 14. But how will people call on him in whom they have not believed? Now we're digging deeper. And how will they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are commissioned and sent for that purpose? Just as it is written and forever remains written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Now notice this. So let me reverse that order so we can get through the funnel. What is it? You hear. Did you see that word? You have to hear first. If you don't hear, you can never receive. You hear the word proclaimed. Number two, you believe in your heart. Faith, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, and revelation comes and you believe in your heart. After you believe in your heart, then you have an action, a faith action, which is calling upon the name of the Lord. I'm going quickly, but there's a reason. And at the end of that, you receive. Go back and read that verse again, and you'll find that. Hear, believe, call, or action, and receive. So if you're at the very beginning stages, you need to find someone who's talking so that you can hear. See, some of us are trying to get in faith, and we're listening to the wrong people talking. Just because someone is moving their lips doesn't mean that it should be words that you are listening to. Talking. What do we need? We need to find people that are sent to speak. Because it's just not words. Words carry power. Negative words can hurt. But it's to get to the next level, we need the word from heaven, which is not only the written word which reveals the living word, Jesus, but it's the word of God that has gone forth by the power of God. Just a summary, broad stroke. For me to talk to you today, I need something in my heart, a thought. For me to get it to you, I need to be able to speak it. And I speak it in words that you understand. If I knew Chinese and I don't, but if I start speaking Chinese, it wouldn't benefit you. I need to say something that you understand. For me to say something, I need something that most people don't give attention to. And that's breath. Try to talk without air. Have you ever had something where you fell or knocked the air out of you and someone's saying, what's going on? And you're trying to tell them. You know what to say. You're trying to say it, but there's no air to propel it. Or you have nothing to say and you're breathing and there's no words coming out because there's nothing to say. You say, why do I say that? That is a great example of the Trinity of God. The Father knows his heart, his will, the mind of God. Jesus is the Word. But in Hebrew, the Spirit of God in the Hebrew is Ruach, which means the breath of God. Oh, we went too deep too quick. Okay, come back to the surface, get a few hairs. Deep dive again. And so we just don't need to hear what everybody is saying. We need to find somebody who's been sent from heaven to say something that's been anointed by the Spirit of God. Do you see my point? Hear the word, believe it, in our heart, Romans tells us, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Action, call upon the name of the Lord, our faith response, and then we receive what's in that covenant. Now, I don't want to take one verse and take it out of context, because you have to challenge everything. We teach around here, if you're a first-time guest, we strongly encourage everybody to challenge anything and everything that I or anybody tells you. Never adapt spiritual principles just because you like somebody or it sounds good. Challenge it. Find it in the Bible. But Peter tells us not only to challenge it, but to get at least by two or three witnesses. Too many times people can take a verse out of context and build a whole doctrine on it and lead a lot of people into crazy places in life. So let's see if I can find another verse. Oh, look, I did. Some of you will get that later. Matthew 13:13 says, Jesus is talking. This is the reason, the disciples asked, why do you talk in parables? This is the reason I speak to the crowds in parables, because while having the power of seeing, they do not see. Now, if you would, circle in your Bible. I encourage you to bring a Bible you can write in, so it helps take notes. And I encourage you to have this sounds crazy. I encourage you, a phone, iPad, all that's good. But I would encourage you to have a printed Bible. You say, that's old school. And it's really not. But here's I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But technology moves so fast. And with the open door of AI, who's working on its own Bible. And I don't know about you, but I have a lot of Bible apps, and I always think it's interesting when they want to update a translation. Come on, anybody? We have an update to that translation. That translation's how old? What are they updating? We don't know, do we? And I'm an old school CS coding guy from way back in the day. Why do I say that? I'm not being a conspiracy theorist, but if you're not careful, one day if the Lord tarries, they could start changing the text and you would never be aware. Side note. Okay. This is the reason I speak to the crowds in parables. Jesus said, because while having the power of seeing, and circle the word seeing, they do not see. And while having the power of hearing, they do not hear. Nor do they understand, right? Circle that word. See, hear, and understand. See, hear, and understand. See, hear, and understand. Jesus is talking, I'm not. See, hear, and understand. See, hear, and understand. See, hear, and understand. You say, why are you doing that? Well, I'm kind of honoring. I want to aggravate you for a few minutes for those who are really hungry to go to lunch. So see, hear. No, but it's actually going to work with you later on. See, hear, and understand. Say, see.
See.
Oh, man, I'm just going to touch base. To see is a power of perception. Let me read verse 15 before I jump into this. For this nation's heart, notice the condition, because where we believe, understanding and revelation comes to the heart, Matthew 13 and Romans. For this nation's heart has grown hard, and their ears they hardly hear, And they have tightly closed their eyes. Real quick thought. We'll get more into later. Notice that it's the intention of them with their vision that they close, which impacts their ability to hear, which alters their... So if I can get that vision thing corrected, they have tightly closed their eyes. Otherwise... So instead of see, hear, and understand, he said heart, ears, and eyes. Same thing. Otherwise, they would see. Here's the solution. Jesus said, they will see with their eyes. And then, if they're seeing, if they can perceive right, then they will hear with their ears. Stay with me. And then they will, as a result of that, they will understand with their heart. And turn to me, and what? I would heal them. The Bible says that he sent his word to heal them and deliver them from all destruction. Jesus said, I have to speak in parables because not everybody's going to get this, because they have chosen not to see. And because they've chosen not to see, they can't hear. And because they can't hear, they receive no understanding. And because they have no heart understanding, they will not change, will not turn to me. And because they will not turn, I cannot do it. But if they would turn, he would do it. He would heal them. He would save them. He would bless them. Any faith that puts all the responsibility on God is not a biblical faith.
Come on, come on.
Where am I in the funnel? Where are you in the funnel? Because I know that the moment I turn correctly to him, I will make a connection to him. Yes. Like the woman with the issue of blood, and her faith was able to draw virtue out of him.
Yeah.
But let me end the next 2-3 minutes with this one thought. Because their eyes, they have closed. It's a will thing.
Yep.
It's not seen in the natural. It's actually seen by revelation, but there's something greater going on here. It's seen because of value. In your brain, there is a thing called a reticular activation system. Back in the day, I got an MBA in marketing, and there's a thing, reticular activator, and most people don't know, but everybody operates with it. You say, what is it? It is a mechanism that God created to keep us all from going insane. Because your eyes, your ears, your brain, your senses, all this information is going so fast, and your brain picks up all of it. Your eyes, see, have you ever seen something you didn't realize you saw it? Your brain picks up all that information, and then this reticular activation system, which controls a lot of different systems, but one of the things it does, and by the way, it's just a fun thing to say, reticular activation system. You can play around with that. Wonder what their attitude problem is. That's probably their reticular activation system. It just sounds smart. They just need Jesus to heal their reticular activation system. Yeah, don't mind me. I ordered food. It's all at the house waiting for me at lunchtime. I don't have no place to be. Reticular activation system. And what it does is it filters out things that it perceives by your subconscious as not important. Let me give you an example that many of us have had happen. Have you ever gone to a car dealership and you see you're looking for something different? And you see a car on the lot that you have never seen before. And you think, wow, I like that. I've never seen one of these on the road. I'm going to be the only one driving this thing. I want that car. And the salesman knows by the look in your eye that you want that car, but that's another subject for another time. And you buy that car, and you're so proud of it because you're the only one in town driving this car. And when you wake up the next morning and you get in your car to drive it to work, the worst thing happens. You pass 4 of them. And has anybody ever done that? And you're thinking, what? I've never seen this car before. And now I see him everywhere. That is your reticular activation system. That's how that plays. Why did you never notice it before? Because it was not important to you. And because it's not important to you, your brain has a way of filtering out so you do not notice it.
Ooh.
They looked at Jesus, and they had, for some, they said, what authority is he talking? Isn't his brothers here? Did he grow up in this town? And they could not receive from him, and he could not, the Bible says, do any major work. Except for pray for a few sick folk laying his hands on him. Why? Jesus said that a prophet is without honor except in his own hometown. Because they knew him in the natural, they devalued him in the spiritual. Therefore, they could not receive, they could not turn to receive from him so that they could have what he was already able and willing to do. For God has sent his word to heal them. What is of value to you, you will understand and recognize. You know what the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1? That God has given, verse 3, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Verse 4. Through exceeding great and precious promises. We don't have to talk about the great part of it because the Word of God is powerful. But you know what a lot of people, the reason they don't receive? Because they don't see. Why? Because there's no value. Because they don't understand the great, exceedingly great and precious, precious promise. It's just the Bible. And as long as it's just a book, it's not precious to you. And if it's that promise is not precious to you, it will not carry a value system in your life. And if it does not carry a value system, it could be standing right in front of you and you miss what God is trying to show you. And people can be in sitting in a service and the anointing going forth, and we've had people get healed in their seats. We've had people get revelation and courage. We get people touched by the power of God. And you know what? Some will walk out and say, it's okay. They don't tell me that. Security! No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But I just know that that's a natural dynamic in any church service. Why? Because it's of no value. And if there's no value, then your perception changes. You lose value in your marriage and your... You lose value in that job. Just 2 years ago, you're like, oh, would you please hire me? I could really use this job. I'm literally like, and you're so excited when you got it. 2 years later, you're like, oh, I can't believe I hate this job. They don't promote, they don't give me any opportunity. Well, why should they? You hate the job. Hello, somebody. I'm not telling you to stay at your job. If you're going through that, I am not telling you to stay at your job. But the point being is what you value, you respect, it's drawn to you. When you value the promise of the Word of God, He was there the whole time. He was there the whole time. And they couldn't receive. Why? Because they didn't see it. Why? Because they refused to value who He is. When we value the Word of God, you know why people will go to their grave refusing and they become a martyr and refusing to reject this Word? Because they got a hold of a promise. They got a hold of a word. Yeah. And it's of such value that the very breath in their lungs do not deserve to offset it. They will not deny that promise. They'll not deny who Jesus is if it costs them their very life. Why would they ever die? Why don't you deny Christ and just live? Are you kidding? It's because they understand the value of that word. Revelation tells us, and they overcame him, referring to the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Yes. Stay with me. And they loved not their life unto death. We're not doing any martyring class here. Just stay with me. Why would they not love their life unto death? Because they loved something greater.
Come on.
They loved that word so much. Yes. They love their walk with Jesus so much. I'm not interested in pastoring a church trying to get a bunch of big numbers. And we like crowds. We like growth, and the church is growing. But it's not a matter of trying to just draw a crowd.
Right.
I want an army of people that love Jesus so much. Because that's who's going to make a difference. That's who's going to receive the promises. That's who's going to have an answer to prayer. When you get to where anything challenges or questions and tests you for that over what God's trying to give you, you're like, wait a minute, I'm choosing Jesus. Moses, God said, Moses, the promised land's here. I'm not going in. I'll let you go in with an angel. And Moses said, God, what separates us from the other nations of the world? Is it not your presence with us? If you do not go, we will not go because we are sticking it with you, Lord. We will not chase after anything without you. You don't do that until you understand the promise. And when you understand the promise, it's because you connected to the promiser. Faith funnel. How to receive what belongs to you. How to receive what belongs to you. It's learning to develop a value of value, in closing, from two things, and we'll get more into later, that'll come from the Word of God. Joshua 1, God said, meditate on the Word of heaven in your mouth day and night, that you may observe to do. Yeah. Second, Ephesians 1, Paul prays that the anointing of wisdom and revelation come upon you, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Why? So they can know something. Get an understanding. Why? But they have to see it differently. What enables us to see it? The scales of life will prevent us from seeing with clarity what is standing before us from heaven. We got to be able to say, Lord, I wake up and I ask you to anoint my eyes. I want to see this day the way you want me to see it. Value will change perspective every time. Amen. If you received anything, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that, in the way you process, the way you experience, and the way you understand that you know that he is real? It's not a game, it's not a gimmick, it's not rules, it's not legalism. That you know that Jesus Christ is real and that he is your Lord and Savior. If you don't, this is the day. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. It's, in my opinion, one of the greatest miracles. One of the greatest miracles. One of the greatest miracles. We go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We go from the control of the enemy's power over our life into the victory. We belong to Jesus, purchased by the blood. You don't have to live under their condemnation. When you lay your head on your pillow tonight, you can know and have a peace on the inside that you just can't even explain, you've never had before, that only comes from knowing him. If you do not know Jesus in a real and personal way, this is your opportunity. Just let this prayer come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That he came to this earth in the flesh, lived a sinless life, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to be the first to say, welcome to the family of God. Congratulations. The Bible says heaven is celebrating right now in this second. Amen. Heaven is celebrating for you. Heaven is celebrating. We want to celebrate and recognize, and I want to speak a blessing over your life. In my opinion, you can disagree with this, but I think, in my opinion, one of the tactics the enemy has done in the church world global is created a very passive mentality when everybody's trying to get along. And I'm not saying you should be a jerk, but people are bending their knee to idols that they should never bend their knee to, accepting terms they should never have accepted, just in hopes of not trying to offend or trying to make everybody happy or keep everybody liking them. And I think the problem with that is that when the enemy tries to come in to steal, kill, and destroy, we go along with the journey if we're not willing to stand up and say, this is not right. That's not my portion. I love you, but I can't go and be a part of that. There's a tenacity that has to come back to the body of Christ in these last days. It's not being a jerk, but it's being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Bible says you can be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit on the inside. Not that you even necessarily talk different or walk, but that you have a strength that when temptation comes, you can stand up and say, nope, not me, not now, not ever again. Or if they say, hey, let's go here, and you're like, nope, you have a check in your spirit. This is not right. For you to stand up against temptation, stand up against sin, stand up against the enemy, we need a strength that is beyond our own strength. Too many of us, and this is a normal thing for baby Christians, when you first try it, you try to live this life on your own ability, and then you struggle and fall, and oh, I got to do it again. It's because you need the strength that comes from heaven. And so I want to speak that blessing, that strength over your life today. If you prayed that prayer for salvation and mean business, at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. You're like, I don't know if I want to stand in front of people. I get it. But if you can't stand for Jesus in a room that people are clapping, how do you stand for Jesus in a room that's not? You got to be real. It's crossing that line saying, regardless of what, I am still going to live for Jesus. So if you mean business with God and you prayed that prayer for salvation, and you're like, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I want you to know, and I'm going to stand up because I definitely want that strength. I want that spiritual tenacity from heaven. At the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand to your feet right now in Jesus' name. Who am I talking to? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Come on. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Four over here. God bless you. Come on. Give them a hand clap. Stay standing. Stay standing. One, two, three, four, five. Six, God bless you. Seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Twelve, God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing if you would. If you were standing, please stay standing. Let me speak a blessing over you. In fact, I'm going to do something we typically don't do, but if you're standing, I want to lay my hands on you. I'm going to anoint you with oil. Would you come down here? Do you want me standing? Come on down. Usually I don't do that, but then we're going to speak a blessing, and then hallelujah. Come on, give him a hand clap. Go ahead and direct everybody. Go ahead, if you would, stand a straight line facing toward the platform. Isn't it awesome what Jesus is doing? Logan, will you join me? I'm having my daughter join me. Say, God is good. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for every person that's down here, and then I'm going to do a general prayer for if you're here and you need prayer. Sometimes we lay hands on people, sometimes we just speak, and we've literally had miracles happen, so it's not a less than ministry. Jesus ministered a lot of different ways, so we're going to speak a blessing and prayer over your life, and then a blessing, and then it's just a wonderful day. Just a wonderful day, is it not? There you go. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands this way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person who's saved that came down here. And Lord, as we lay our hands upon them, we break every chain of the enemy against their life. And we thank you. We dispatch the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, according to your word, strengthen them with might by your presence and your power. Change. I thank you. They are saved. They are born again. And they will never be the same again. Changed by the power of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I free them up. Jesus' name. Come on, church. You can pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, lift your hands. Say, thank you, Jesus. Lift your hand towards me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hand if you will. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. Strengthen them with might. Strengthen with might. Father, I ask extra angels to surround this mom and her son. I don't know who they are, what they need, but right now I thank you that I ask you to minister to them. In the name of Jesus, everything that they need. We speak peace as you're bringing it into their hands right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The days of struggling are ending right now in the name of Jesus. God's going to do a work. He's doing a work for you. He's doing a work in the name of Jesus. He's working it out in the name of Jesus. Father, we speak your hand of blessing on his life. In the name of Jesus, bless him. Sorry, son. Sorry. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, a blessing, a peace, a confidence, a boldness on the inside. In the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's okay. Lord, answer every question. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap and praise.